Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting that whenever we gather for worship, we almost always, without exception, join in praying together the Lord's Prayer. I say this because at a recent chapel service, we didn't say the Lord's Prayer, and those little warning signs in my head went off. We didn't say it. We didn't say it. We didn't say it. In the fourth or middle petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our first inclination is to understand daily bread as asking God to give us each day everything that we need to eat. And that certainly is true. But daily bread means much more than that which we put into our mouths. In his explanation of the fourth petition in the Small Catechism, Martin Luther really unpacks this phrase. I'd like you to listen to what he writes, and then I'll tell you why I think it's worth bringing it to our attention this day. You'll find these words on page 324 in your hymnal. Page 324, the top of the right-hand column. In answer to the question, what is meant by daily bread, Luther writes, "Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like." As we prepare to celebrate the 4th of July weekend, these references, I believe, are significant. Devout and faithful rulers, good government, and peace. All are related to each other. Martin Luther understood that one of the ways that God blesses us, one of the ways that God blesses his people, is through the government and nation that he provides to us, his people. Now then, with that in mind, listen to these words of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Jeremiah wrote these words approximately 2,000 years before Martin Luther, 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ. He wrote at a time when God's people were held captive in the ancient land of Babylon. Now notice, Jeremiah does not encourage the people to insurrection or rebellion, but rather he encourages the people of God to pray for the nation they were living under. He told them to pray, and we would assume regularly, for the welfare of the nation. Why? Because in its welfare, you will find your welfare. When we get past the parades and fireworks and all the other traditional ways in which we celebrate the 4th of July, you and I are struck by the same undeniable truth expressed by Luther in Jeremiah. And that is this: God blesses us through our nation. God blesses us through our government. This, of course, brings to mind the words of the Apostle Paul, who writes in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authorities, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." Why are we to pray for good leaders? Why are we to pray for good government? So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all holiness and godliness. That is, lives that are free from oppression, tyranny, injustice, and fear because of who we are as Christians. In general, and in spite of the personal criticisms and frustrations that we have with it from time to time, every citizen of the United States, whether they are Christians or not, knows that our government, our nation, provides us with a set of freedoms that few other countries in the world enjoy to the extent that we do. As the patriotic songwriter puts it, this is a sweet land of liberty. But as far as Christians are concerned, the greatest of all liberties God has given us through our government is the freedom to believe freely in the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are free to gather together for worship without fear of repercussion, as we are doing here today. Those of you who have received calls to serve the Lord and His people, go forth in this same liberty. You are free to share the gospel. You are free to teach God's word. You are free to serve God's people. You are free to lead them in mission to your community and world. We dare not take this for granted. Such blessings of personal liberty are so ingrained within us that most of us consider this with almost without a passing thought. But the Apostle Paul lived at a time, and he wrote to people living in places where this was not the case, where physical persecution was very real. And it must be mentioned that persecution for one's faith is not just some sad footnote in the history of the ancient church. As hard as it is for us to imagine living here in these United States, in some places in our world, physical persecution for the faith is very much the case even today. The point I just want to make this morning is this: what others have had to contend with, God has spared us. We live in a land of religious freedom. For this blessing, we must be ever grateful. And we need to pray for the continuation of this blessing. Now then, Scripture tells us that the civil government has been established by God for the temporal welfare of His people. Therefore, unless they ask us to personally do something contrary to the Word of God, we owe them our obedience and our respect for their office. We also owe them our gratitude and our prayers. I think of the men and women serving in our armed forces. They need our prayers. And you'll understand what I mean by this when a member of your congregation returns home from Iraq and tells you how a man in his unit threw himself on a roadside bomb so that others might live. I think of the men and women serving in our social welfare agencies. They need our prayers. And you'll understand what I mean when a family member or a member of your congregation receives much-needed help in caring for an elderly parent or a loved one fighting drug or alcohol addiction. I think of the men and women serving as police and firefighters. You'll know what I mean. When you and your family are threatened or in danger of losing life or property. I think of the people serving in our court systems, our jails and prisons. They need our prayers. You'll understand what I mean when one of your members gets in trouble with the law, and in your ministry and in your care and concern of that person, you witness the dedication, even the consecration of these civil servants. Should the Lord allow your community to be destroyed by fire, tornado, earthquake, or flood, you'll understand what I mean. My first call out in Lynn, Kansas, after I was out there for about a year and a half, 10 tornadoes went through our town in one night. As you join neighbors and fellow citizens, the government and the church, in putting the pieces of community life back into place, You'll witness how God brings blessing out of trouble. And I encourage you to pray. Recently, our government, our nation, has been challenged by a wide range of major issues, crises, and problems. The wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, economic challenges due to rising health care, fuel, and food costs, falling home values. Natural disasters such as tornadoes, fires, and floods have also taken their toll. Add to all this the multitude of really serious moral issues impacting our society, and we can become extremely troubled. But you know, we can't just crawl off into a hole somewhere and hope that all these problems will go away. Certainly, certainly, God is looking for repentance from our nation and individual citizens. But He's also placed you and me into this community, into this nation, into this world at this particular time to make a difference, a big difference for good, for the welfare of His people. In doing so, God encourages you and me to be strong, courageous, prayerful, and faithful as we work for the welfare of the communities in which we live and serve. Finally, all this talk about government can be taken to a higher level when you and I remember that in the end, we are under the government of Christ the King. And in His government over us, there are no flaws or inconsistencies, just blessings beyond measure. Our King governs us in perfect love, a love demonstrated by His sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. He did it, He endured it, for sinners like you and me. As a result, we are redeemed, restored, and forgiven. When He cried out, "It is finished," He paid our way to heaven. And when He rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, He completed the heavenly citizenship papers, the heavenly call documents, if you will, for all who believe in Him as Savior. Yes, He governs us in perfect love, but He also governs us in perfect knowledge. Do you remember the hymn, "I am Jesus, little lamb"? I am Jesus, little lamb, ever glad at heart I am, for my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs, and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. The God of the universe knows your name and mine. And in this perfect knowledge, He also knows your needs and mine. And so He provides us with enough good things to remember how blessed we are. And He allows enough challenges and difficulties to come our way to remind us we're not in heaven just yet. But all the while, His hand is in control. He's guiding and guarding us, governing us, asking us to follow His direction and to trust Him in all things. Yes, the liberties we possess as Christians far surpass the liberties that are ours as American citizens. By our Lord's life, death, and resurrection, He has freed us from the damning consequences of our sins. The cross and empty tomb are our declaration of independence from an eternity in hell. And if that is not enough, knowing that He is the one truly ruling this world, even our universe, frees us from a fear of the future, with the result that when we place our trust in Him, we are truly liberated from worry. Yes, we're blessed in so many ways. Through our nation and government, God has given us blessings for our time here on earth. And through Jesus Christ, He gives us blessings for eternity. As recipients of these blessings, and as citizens of His kingdom of grace, God empowers us to share these blessings, to proclaim these blessings with others, even to the end of the world. Over this 4th of July weekend, I'd encourage you to reflect upon the life, liberty, in pursuit of happiness that we enjoy. And thank God. And as Jeremiah the prophet reminds us, let us continue to pray for the welfare of our nation, knowing how God really and truly blesses us through it. But let all these blessings remind us of the greater ones yet to come, blessings grounded and made real in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen.